Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The Fan in New York. March 6th. April showers. Bring March flowers.
Something like that.
Keep McPherson on the Fan. There's four more hours of my show. If you give me 5 hours or 5 minutes, I appreciate it. 877-337-6666. Shout out to the people that just kick back, relax. They listen at home. They listen in the car, and they don't call. But they're there. I appreciate you guys, too. But for the callers, I'm a solo host. I don't have a co-host to bounce things off of. I don't come in here with a take and someone to, you know, counter and be the opposite. I don't come in here with something that is contrived or, you know, I just come in here and talk sports with you guys. I'm the same way if you run into me at the bar or the stadium. A lot of you have run into me in passing. And as it gets warmer, we're back outside. I can't wait to see more people that listen to the Fan, that listen to my show or the morning show, the midday, the afternoon, or the overnight. We appreciate you guys. I said to someone, you know, the Fan doesn't exist without these people that make us a part of their lives. I think I was saying it last night at the Nets game that, like, you know, when you leave your car on WFAN 101.9 FM, it's just like we're your companions in a way. You get in that car by yourself, but you're having a conversation with me or Tiki or BT or Sal or Evan or Boomer and Geo, the guys in the morning. Like, we don't necessarily get to shake hands and touch all of you, but we appreciate all of you. Or maybe I'm just speaking for myself. Like, I appreciate it. I love when I meet people, and I'm still taken back by it when people say, like, yo, man, I work and I listen to you. Yo, thank God for the free Odyssey app, man. I'm in Florida. I'm in California. I'm in North Carolina. I'm in Ohio, but I listen to New York radio, and you're my guy. By design, all of us are different. We have different styles, different fandoms, different stories, different backgrounds. And there's some people you're going to like more than others, right? The radio is on all day. It can't be the same thing over and over and over again. And I know I'm not for everybody. And that didn't just start when I got on the radio. But if I'm your favorite host or you enjoy my show, I'm just letting you know I appreciate you. Call me up. If you've never called, we've got till 12. I hope you can get through. Brian in Asbury Park. That's where I'm from. What's up, Brian? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing? I appreciate this, the Mets-Yankees stuff tonight.
Yeah, it's you know, honestly, I'm tired of it, but it's you can't bury the lead. It's the front of everybody's mind, and Buster only talked about it. I think I just saw our buddy Sal Licata was on Baseball Night in New York talking about it, and we got to talk about it.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, I'll give my two cents. Just two quick points, and then I'll hang up and listen. I think there's a little bit of overestimation and a little bit of underestimation going on. I think you're overestimating the Yankees brand a bit. We just saw Yamamoto pick the Dodgers over the Yankees, and not only
Japanese,
that, we saw Kike Hernandez.
Go ahead.
Kike Hernandez begged Andrew Friedman to take him because the only offer he had out was from the Yankees.
I think. Yeah, what did he sign for? We're talking about Kike Hernandez.
Yeah, he had one offer out from the Yankees. He's like, listen, I don't want to play there. He begged, gets Friedman on the phone.
I don't want Kike Hernandez to ever take an at-bat for the Yankees.
I guess, yeah, Brian Cashman did, though. That's the most important.
For how much? What did Kike Hernandez sign for? $2 million? That might
second
be
point is, I think you're underestimating the money. Juan Soto turned down $440 million. He said to a Yankees reporter, he's willing to take $500 million in a bad year, $700 million in a good year. I don't think Hal is going to spring for that. And I mean, look,
yeah. So then you're underestimating.
I don't blame you because if you can't afford to buy, you rent. So I got it. But I appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, you didn't do anything. You didn't accomplish anything with that call, Brian. We're talking about Kike Hernandez. We're talking about Yamamoto coming over here from Japan. A lot can change in a year. Juan Soto has been a Yankee since December 7th. Tomorrow is March 7th. So far, so good in these first 3 months. What happens in another 3 months? What happens in another 6 months? Like, he's going to get deeper and deeper into the Yankee culture. He's going to get to meet the greats. He's going to step out there in Yankee Stadium in front of a fan base that was pissed off last year. So much so, they were calling for everybody's head. Boone, Cashman, Hal, sell the team, some even went as far to say. Those fans will turn that same negative energy to positive energy, to cheers. The Bronx Zoo will be back. And once Juan Soto gets a real feel for being in that outfield and hearing us talk to him all night, a real feel of stepping in that batter's box and hearing his walk-up music and that stadium going dumb for 10 seconds before he sees his first pitch, is different over here, bro. So I'm not underestimating or overestimating anything, really. I'm also not comparing Kike Hernandez. I'm trying to find what Kike Hernandez signed for. I didn't even put that in my notes that Kike Hernandez mentioned that it was between the Yankees. Kike Hernandez? Too much Red Sox in his blood for me. I'm good on that. Yamamoto literally came over here and rode Shohei Ohtani's coattails. And I was the one screaming at. They were writing articles on WFAN.com with me saying it's not Yamamoto, it's Yamamotani. Did you guys not work? You didn't watch the World Baseball Classic because you thought it was worthless. You thought it was pointless. Edwin Diaz went down, and you didn't watch Japan absolutely dominate. They didn't lose. And so once Yamamoto got a feel for that and being teammates with Ohtani, they were plotting on that last summer. So I just can't compare that. All I can say is this. Having the advantage that the Yankees have for him to literally go through a season, it's like a free trial. It's more than a free trial. Obviously, they're paying him $31 million. But man, he's been a Nationals player for, like, he started with them. He said he didn't want to leave them. Talking about the money that he left for the Nationals, do I have to go look up the $440 million contract and how they broke that down? And the Nationals were dumb the way they treated him. I remember being at the All-Star game. They wouldn't fly him to the All-Star game because he turned down that contract. This is different now. This is different now. It's not, so that contract was a 15-year contract, and we don't have the time to go through it. But, like, whatever you guys got to tell yourselves to sleep at night because you're going to be watching Adrian Hauser pitch, like, do it. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. Danny's in Nyack. Danny, you're on the fan.
Chief, I appreciate you taking my call. I started out listening to you on the overnights when I get out of work. I used to work in the restaurant industry. It was great to have a voice like yours on the fan. And
thank you.
Just wanted to give you, you know, shout you out. And I was listening to that conversation you had with one of the callers about losing a brother. I lost my brother a while ago, and his birthday is coming up on Sunday. So I just wanted to give him a shout out as well. And just
God,
you know,
bless, man. The birthdays are tough. Yeah. I remember just crying uncontrollably on a couple of my brother's birthdays that he missed. Yo, it sucks.
Yeah. No, it's tough. You know, I've definitely shed some tears myself, but I appreciate having someone like you, a voice like yours on the fan to listen to, and I've been listening to you a lot. So
what's your brother's name?
His name was Patrick.
Shout out to Patrick, RIP, may he rest. Thanks for the call, Danny. Yeah, you guys can't get me choked up tonight. We got to talk about other things, and I'm going to sprinkle in some other things like I said I was going to, but all my calls are Juan Soto, Juan Soto, Juan Soto. Daniel Jones, you guys like to talk about Daniel Jones and Rich Eisen, and when I went on Monday night, I'm like, I guess it sounds better when Rich Eisen says it. I guess it sounds better when Rich Eisen hosts the Combine and then goes on his show to say, the Giants have buyer's remorse, the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. the worst kept secret in the world. I did my keto day 5-0, my Cinco de Keto on the 5-5-5 reasons why the Giants have to draft a quarterback and they have to move on from Daniel Jones. Maybe we'll get to that later, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on Daniel Jones. Some of you are really attached to Daniel Jones, and I'm still trying to figure out why. I know he's a good guy, and I know he doesn't do anything wrong off the field. He's quiet as kept, but none of that matters. You're trying to win, right? None of that matters to the head coach and the GM that came in here trying to turn this franchise around. They're going to draft their own guy. Now, maybe it's not J.J. McCarthy. I hope it's not. I think they can do better, but it's going to be tough to crack that top three, where most likely those top three teams are going to take quarterbacks. And I would just trust that Brian Daboll, a guy that is an offensive mastermind, a quarterback whisperer, who got 300-yard games out of Tyrod Taylor, got 3 wins in a row out of undrafted Tommy DeVito, got the best season you've seen from Daniel Jones, his first year with Daniel Jones. He's credited for success with Josh Allen. Josh Allen has turned into a turnover machine without him. Like, I would trust that that guy knows what he's looking at and knows who he wants. And if they don't move up, or if a quarterback that he wants doesn't fall to him at 6, that they'll have some kind of other plan. I understand a lot of you want to see Malik Nabers get drafted, or Roma Dunze, or a wide receiver. But the wide receiver is only as good as the guy throwing him the ball, especially a rookie. And I know some of you want to go back to the well again of drafting an offensive lineman. But this regime drafted Evan Neal. I don't think they want to do that. I don't think they want to do that. Not using that high of a pick. I mean, there are offensive linemen deeper in this draft. Like, this is a deeper draft for offensive linemen and wide receivers. I saw Damian Woody say that about the Jets, because that's their need too. Why take one at 6? If this is a deep draft for receivers and offensive linemen, why are you using your 6th overall pick on one? Get a quarterback. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Shane in Sussex County before we start talking G-Men on the Fan. Shane.
Hello?
Yeah. You're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great show tonight.
Thanks.
So I'm a diehard Mets fan, but I'm also a big baseball fan. And I don't know what your World Series predictions are, but I would actually see, just for, Major League Baseball, baseball in general, ratings and stuff, I would feel like it would be awesome. As much as I hate to say this, you know, as a Mets fan, I would
Yankees, feel a little
jealous.
That's not my prediction, but I've been saying that's, I know for a fact Yankees, that's Dodgers, the dream, yeah, for Major League Baseball.
They've teased it for years. I think this year could be the year that it could happen, and I think it would be great for baseball. What do you think?
It would be great. Thanks for the call, Shane. It's not going to happen. It's too much hype. Don't believe the hype. I'm watching Freddie Freeman hit grand slams. I'm watching Ohtani hit homers. Mookie Betts. They've got 3 MVPs in the top of their order. It's not going to happen. Baseball doesn't work like that. You know that. They won 111 games last year. What happened to them? They lost to their division rival, and their division rival, who nobody had going to the World Series, went to the World Series. 877-337-6666. I had a show when I opened up the show like 2 weeks ago where I said, David Stearns is smarter than we're giving him credit for. He has absolutely lowered the bar. He came in and realized, hey, the bar is set way too high for the guys you have on the roster and the dead money that you're paying out. We have to lower expectations. You told these fans you were going to bring them a championship in 5 years, Steve? No. We got to walk this back. We can't sign any big-name guys. Yamamoto, that's different. You got to be in on Yamamoto. But that doesn't mean we take that Yamamoto money and apply it to Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery or anybody else like that. I said on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have your New York Yankees. All the hype. Juan Soto, healthy Aaron Judge. Rizzo's not concussed. Giancarlo Stanton has slimmed down. Anthony Volpe's not a rookie anymore. DJ LeMahieu could return to being the machine. Gerrit Cole's the reigning Cy Young winner. Here comes Marcus Stroman. The Yankees want to win a World Series. It's been 15 years. All the Yankees do is talk about championships. Aaron Boone comes out in the first press conference and says, we're hell-bent on being a champion. We know that. But we also know it's not that easy to do because you haven't been able to get back since 2009 when I was in college. So all the hype, expectations, pressure is on the Yankees. It always is. But like all of that hype and expectations on the Yankees, it's harder to fail. They have to come out of the gate on fire. And if I had to take the Yankees or the field to win the 2024 World Series, I'm taking the field. 877-337-6666. Now, do I want to win the World Series more than anything in sports? I'm a Yankee fan. I'm on the fan. I'm on the YES Network. I get on MLB Network. I get in that stadium. I bop around. I'm in 203. I'm in Legends. I'm in the suites. I'm checking in on John and Susan. I'm everywhere. If the Yankees go to the World Series and win it, I'm guaranteed that my life improves just from my personal brand being linked with the Yankees brand. So don't get me wrong. I don't think that they're winning the World Series because it's March 6th. They have to build a champion. They have to stay healthy. They don't do that. They don't do that. The last 5 years, they probably lead the league in IL stints. So I'm just going off of what I see. Of course, I'm a Yankees fan. I want to win the World Series. I was stupid enough as a college kid to have priorities and put class and football practice ahead of going to the parade. I was so naive that I literally thought, whatever, I'll get a job in the city when I graduate. No, there'll be multiple parades over the next 10, 15 years. That 10, 15 years has passed, and I haven't seen a parade. It's hard to win the World Series. Major League Baseball's dream is for it to be L.A. versus New York and not the Anaheim Angels versus the Mets. 877-337-6666. We got to break it down, but now I've introduced the Daniel Jones conversation. Saquon Barkley should be a Houston Texan, in my opinion. He should go. And if you look at the cap space and the cap numbers, the Houston Texans have the money to present him a pretty solid deal that I don't expect the Giants to match. And you know what? They shouldn't be trying to match it. They should be trying to win. Saquon Barkley hasn't led you to a bunch of wins. Daniel Jones hasn't led you to a consistent winning franchise. Move on. It's a new regime. You didn't draft those guys with top six picks, two overall, six overall. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's break it down. I'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Some rich boy. Keith McPherson on the Fan. 8:30-ish. 87.7, 33.7. A 6, a 6, and two more 6s. You type that in and you can get on the show. I don't have a host or a co-host. I'm the host. You know what I mean. Obviously, we opened up talking about Buster Olney's tweet that the most interesting thing and least surprising thing coming out of Mets camp is they're dreaming of signing a guy currently on the New York Yankees. Sad. Sad state of affairs over there. We're going to enjoy this season, though. It's going to be a good one. And football season, it's always football season. The NFL is king. And right now, the Giant fan is in the most important offseason in a long time, if you ask me. It's not the Gettleman era anymore. Shane and Dable, if they are who we think they are, they're going to have a good draft. They're going to make the right moves in free agency regarding Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney. I mean, the Daniel Jones contract is what it is. But what it is a contract you can get out of next year. 87.7, 33.7, 66.66. Tyler in Garden City, you got it.
How are you? I appreciate you taking the call. You just said, you know, Shane and Dable. I think they are the right guys for us. But I just want to ask you, do you think they opt out? And do you think they possibly draft a quarterback? Or, you know, the receiver class is very top-heavy. I think there's a lot of good guys in the first couple of rounds. But I just want to know what you think. Do you think they opt out? Do you think they opt in if he has a good year? There's so many possibilities. There are different ways for them to go. Just wondering what your opinion is on that.
Yeah, I'll take it from here, Tyler. Thanks for the call. Do they opt in on the Daniel Jones contract? Why? For why? For what? Why? All right, Daniel Jones ran the ball and ran you guys to first downs, a couple touchdowns. Didn't throw that many touchdowns. In this NFL, you got to throw the ball into the end zone. I mean, Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl this year. I don't know how many touchdowns he actually threw for, but I know he had receivers that led the league in drops. You got to be able to score. You got to be able to run it up. Daniel Jones, to me, is a good quarterback. I think he's got all the tools, but it just hasn't materialized, and now he's damaged Jones. He's got neck problems. He's got an ACL. Every year he's been hurt. The NFL stands for not for long, and they structured that contract so that they wouldn't be attached to Daniel Jones for long. The stars have aligned, Giants fans. They never wanted him. They never wanted him. They brought Tyrod Taylor in here to challenge him. We heard reports that they were telling the defense the play that the first team offense was running with Daniel Jones and not telling him the play with Tyrod Taylor just to challenge him, just to get him rattled, just to see what he would do. He passed the test, but they were not Daniel Jones guys. They didn't pick up his option. They cost themselves, I don't know, $18 million. Wasn't his rookie option $22 million? They ended up paying him $40 million because that's the quarterback market and that's what they had to do. They defaulted into that, but they did give themselves a little bit of an out in 2025. And speaking of that $22 million option that they could have picked up from his rookie deal, but they didn't believe him, so they didn't do it. That's what the dead cap number is, $22 million. We are in a world where the Denver Broncos are about to eat $85 million for Mr. Incredible Russell Wilson, Sierra's man. Like they don't want Russell Wilson on their team. They don't want to pay him. They tried to get him to waive his injury clause, and now they're about to eat $85 million in dead cap money. Oh, they raised the salary cap $30 million this year. It's going to keep going up. And the Giants are one of the richest franchises in the sport. You guys forgot about that? Sam is in the Bronx. What's up, Sam? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, I'm calling about the Giants, right on point. So I actually think that as far as Saquon Barkley goes, we have Brian Daboll, offensive-minded head coach. And if they are building a team, I think they should get a quarterback too. I think they should build the offensive lineup a little bit. If they are building a team for success, I don't see why they wouldn't offer Saquon Barkley a contract, you know?
If that makes your team better. I can see why. Every year they talk about how the Super Bowl champion is not a team with a high-paid running back. The Niners were close. But these Devin Achans pop up every year. Isaiah Pacheco. There's more of them coming. I watched the combine. There's a lot of these strong, muscle-bound, fast running backs coming into the league.
I mean, I get it, but I, at the end of the day, you know, he's played in the NFL already. And with a, you say, oh, people say now, he goes to the Texans, he goes here, he goes there, he'd be better used, he'll be in a better environment.
No, he'll win.
That environment could be with the Giants, you know, that environment could be with the Giants. And I think if Brian Daboll loving his guy, you know, he professed his love to him in the middle of the season and all of that, I think he would want to keep him on a team that he wants to build. I don't see why not, you know?
Thanks for the call, Sam. I disagree. He's 27 years old. And I understand your attachment to him because, like, Saquon is your guy. And the way that he carries himself, he is a great role model. He's a great Giant. He talks about wanting to be a Giant for life. You know, being a kid, his dad being a Jets fan, and him riding by Giant Stadium. And, like, yeah, all that is good and all. But, like, you drafted him number two overall. We will never see a running back taking number two overall ever again. That's the last one. And I laugh because it was preposterous at the time. But they talked themselves into Saquon Barkley no matter what. What? And I know. They were saying he was the next Jim Brown. But, like, that's not how you build a team. These running backs, they get beat up. These running backs, like I mentioned Devin Achane. I mentioned Isaiah Pacheco. You can find these guys in later rounds that can come in, and maybe they're not as explosive as Saquon Barkley, but they can do the job. They can get you 3-4 yards. They can pick up a blitz. They can catch the ball out of the backfield. And maybe you have a running back by committee. Maybe it's an issue that Saquon Barkley is majority of your offense. Maybe it's an issue that the quarterback struggles when Saquon Barkley is out. Did you ever look at it that way? Maybe it's time to move on. And at the price that he's looking for, you just went through this whole song and dance last year. They know where each other's camps are. They know where they're at. And I'm talking about, you know, Saquon Barkley and his people, the Giants, Shane, Daboll, and their people, they know where they're at. They didn't tag him. He's going to test free agency. And I believe that somebody is going to give him an offer greater than the Giants are willing to match. And then it's so long, farewell. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Rich is in Jim Thorpe, PA on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, do me a favor and stay with your broadcasting career and not a singing career. I just had to put that in.
You got it. It's more for comedy. It's jokes, all right?
Yeah, I get it. I'm laughing with you, not at you. Anyway, with the Giants, you know, Daniel Jones, I don't know if he could really be a good quarterback. You don't know. I don't know if he knows. And here's why. The line has been putrid. And this year alone, let's look at the facts. Rated last in the NFL, gave up 85 sacks all year long. Now, we want to say, well, he doesn't get rid of the ball quick enough. Well, here's the other fact. We didn't have anybody in the top half of the league with quick separation from defenders, causing quarterbacks to hold the ball too long or throw it into coverage. Why is he injured? You can make the argument he ran on pass plays, which he did, and that's how his two neck injuries occurred. On he had to run a lot, as did Taylor, as did DeVito. So I know it's not a sexy thing to the draft lineman. Everybody wants a wide receiver, but who's going to throw him the ball if the quarterback's lying on his back? Now, when I coached offensive line in high school, I know it's a world of difference. But the big thing with an offensive line is chemistry. You got to have the same guys out there because they communicate with each other. The whole thing with line, when you're pass blocking, is they got to take the step in the same direction to cut off the gaps and block the blitzes.
Right.
If one lineman takes the wrong step, there the whole thing breaks down. We didn't have a solid line. Thomas was hurt. Schmidt was hurt. Neal was awful. Our guards were awful. We had Justin Pugh come off the couch. He ended up playing on the team.
I watched. I know. Yeah, I'm aware. I'm very aware.
And you even said that, you know, Dable is a quarterback whisperer. But the problem, the thing with Taylor and DeVito being better, well, the line got a little better because they got a little healthier. And they moved up two slots from the last to the next 30th in the league. But I think that has something to do with it. I'm a big offensive line guy. If you look at all these teams in the NFL, they get that far every year. They got good lines. You think Tom Brady would succeed in his prime with this Giants team? And he just stood in the pocket and picked out second, third reads and threw the ball where who was ever open. I mean, where are we going to get anywhere unless we get an offensive line? So I'm a big Joe Walt fan from Notre Dame. I'd like to see him as the number one pick, and everybody's going to scream and yell, that's not a good thing. I go all the way back to when we had Zach Martin in 2014. Keith, he was the number one pick for the Cowboys. They built a great line around him. And one more point. Terry Bradshaw was awful his first couple of years with the Steelers. Threw 48 TDs, 81 picks. And why did he get so good? Well, they built a great offensive line. Then they gave him Franco Harris. They gave him Lynn Swann. And then they went out in four Super Bowls. I'm a big thing. You build in the trenches first, and then you add your skill guys after that. And we go after a free agent quarterback. What about Gardner Minshew? Is he available? I like him. If you put a rookie in this team right now, we're going to wait another 2-3 years and find out if he's good or not. Don't you think?
Yeah, but that rookie, thanks for the call, Rich. That rookie is not supposed to start. That you're going to pay Daniel Jones. If he's actually able to come back, if he's like absolutely healthy for training camp, which I'm on the record, the numbers don't line up for me. I don't see him being ready for training camp unless he's got some type of ayahuasca or some dolphins mating sounds from Aaron Rodgers. I just don't see it being that quick of a recovery for this guy who even his game, he depends on his legs. Like, is he now just going to be a sitting duck behind that offensive line? And you know what? I defended Daniel Jones last year. I was watching those games saying, man, he is under duress. I'm like, I tried to make the analogy of like, imagine, you know, drunk driving in the rain, which it's pouring rain tonight. Hopefully you're sober driving. But I'm like, imagine drunk driving in the rain with cars whizzing by you. Like, you're going to miss an exit. And that's what I felt like Jones was doing. He's missing open receivers. Really, he's missing blitzing corners and safeties. And that's another thing. Man, recognizing the blitz, getting into the right protection, checking and getting into the right play, going away from the pressure, that's his job too. How come they were able to scheme and figure it out with Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor? That's when I stopped defending Daniel Jones. And I know Justin Pugh came off the couch. Andrew Thomas came back. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt was hurt. Evan Neal just ended up being on the bench for the rest of the season. But I just think we absolve Daniel Jones too much. How many more years do you need to see the guy to know that he's not the guy? The old adage used to be, if you don't see it in year two, he's not the guy. Like, what do we need? We need a year six, seven? He's not the guy, and he's not their guy. With that 6th overall pick, David Gettleman drafted him. They're not going to, if they use that pick at 6, maybe Joe Alt is there and they do that. But I've already said this is a deeper draft for offensive tackles, offensive linemen. It's also a deeper draft for wide receivers. You might not get Malik Nabers or Roman Odunze, whatever. But if you know that your quarterback is injury prone, that can't stay on the field, every year he has a season-ending injury, and you didn't draft him, you didn't want him when you came in, pick your guy. It's going to extend your leash. It's going to extend your time. I mean, I'm giving you all points for my Keitho Day 5 or my Cinco Day Keitho. I talked about the Commanders. They're getting their quarterback of the future. And Rich just mentioned Gardner Minshew. Come on, bro. Gardner Minshew threw too hot of a pass to a third-string running back and end up losing that game for the Colts against the Texans. He is a backup for a reason, and this year we've seen more backups play than ever where the price for the backup quarterback goes up even higher. They're not going to be able to pay Gardner Minshew what Gardner Minshew is going to command as arguably the top guy out there. They're not even going to be able to pay Tyrod Taylor what they paid him. He's gone. So you draft a young guy. You bring Tommy Cutledge back. He's back regardless. And Daniel Jones, Godspeed on your healing process. The quarterback room should be Daniel Jones, a rookie of their choosing, and Tommy DeVito. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. We'll be right back. Hey! go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking about the Giants now, but we're definitely going to go back to talking about Juan Soto, the Yankees, and the Mets, because that's what I opened with. That's what everybody's talking about today, because Buster only put a tweet out, and of course, our host leaned into it, and the internet is talking about it, and they've been talking about it. I'm kind of tired of talking about it, because we won't actually know where Juan Soto is going to spend the rest of his career until December. And I try and live in the present. I try and live in the moment. I'm not thinking about December right now. I'm not even thinking about October right now. If you just heard me before say, the Yankees have to build a champion. The Yankees have to build a contender. Yeah, on paper right now, they're World Series favorites. Oh, Yankees, Dodgers. But we've seen all that deflate. We've seen guys get hurt. We've seen guys struggle. And all those hopes and dreams you have, next thing you know, it's the dog days of August, and you're fighting for a wild card position, and you're not the favorites. 877-337-6666. Joe is in Ridgewood. Joe, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? I'm a big fan of the show. You and I actually had kids around the same time, so I listened to your show a lot over the night when my kid wasn't sleeping.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Wait, so you have a daughter?
No, I have a son. This is my first time calling. But
okay, I talked to someone who had a daughter around the same time as me, and I remember us going back and forth. How's your son doing?
He's good, man. He's 1 year. It's great being a dad. I'm sure you're enjoying it as well.
Yeah, now I'm at the 11th month, the 11-month stage where he's more of like a little boy and less of a screaming, kicking infant, and it's nice. It's fun.
I hear you on that. But I wanted to call. Talk about Juan Soto. I'm clearly a Mets fan, and I enjoy your show. I enjoy how you told the Mets fans. I like the show as well. But I think for the Mets to sign Juan Soto, it's going to take a significant amount of more money. It's not going to be $1. And I know you're talking about branding and marketing. This is a guy that's 23 years old, turned down over $400 million. So that just tells me that the only guy that's really in his ear is Scott Boras. Because to turn down for over $400 million at the age of 23 is significant. So I think it's going to be very difficult for the Mets to sign him, and it's not going to be $25 million more or $50 million more. It's a lot more money. And the problem that the Yankees are going to have is that they have a lot of contracts tied in for the next 4 to 7 years with Cole and Judge and Stanton, clearly. What do you think about that?
I think you're right that, like, obviously it's not going to be a dollar more. A dollar more is not enough to make him leave the Yankees and go across town.
Right.
I think it's got to be $100 million more. I think it's got to be that much more of a difference where you can't turn it down because, I mean, Scott Boras is going to want his cut, right? Scott Boras is going to want his percent.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree.
He's got, Juan Soto's got family that have helped him get there that he's going to want to break them off with a couple million and $100 million. That extra $100 million could just be like, yo, this is going to take care of everybody else, and then I keep the rest. But I also feel like the Yankees have a ton of money, and they will have money coming off the books, and they will be able to finagle and finesse this contract where, over the years, like, the Yankees are just going to win and make more money, and it's just not going to affect. Like, I don't see the Yankees being out on it. I think if the Yankees felt like the Juan Soto contract wasn't doable because of Judge making $300 million plus, Stanton making $300 million plus, Cole making $300 million plus, then they wouldn't have given up everything to trade for him. They're going to put their heads together and come up with a few numbers. They were willing to give Yamamoto $300 million, and he's never thrown a pitch in Major League Baseball. I think they're going to be very prepared to come to the table with the numbers. And then they're the Yankees. They're going to throw in some other things that money can't buy and some other things that we don't even know about to sweeten the pot.
Yeah, and as far as living in the present, man, you guys have a really good team. It's going to be interesting who you guys trade for at deadline because you probably need one more pitcher for the playoffs. And for the Mets, it's just going to be all about the young players and seeing how they progress and how much they, if they're the real deal or not. But thank you for the phone call.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Hope your son is doing well and you're enjoying fatherhood. But yeah, back to the Yankees and the Mets. I want both teams to win. Watching the postseason last year, not having the Mets and the Yankees, not having New York in October baseball, like, baseball lost. Baseball took an L with that. Like, that's just not a good look. This is the mecca of baseball. We have two large fan bases, two rich owners, two teams with rich history and fans that go nuts for baseball. Like, this is not Oakland. This is not one of these smaller market teams. This is not, we care. So for us to not have postseason baseball here a year after winning 101 games in Queens and 99 games in the Bronx, it wasn't cool. It was whack. Like, honestly, I tried to have conversations about, you know, the Rangers, the Rays, the Blue Jays. I think that was the biggest thing for me. I just celebrated that the AL East won zero postseason games watching the postseason last year. But I think the Yankees will be back. And I think there's a sneaky chance that the Mets can be back. It just takes so much to go well, though. Like, so I don't want to say that they're making the postseason, but I do think that they can surprise people because they have a mix of veteran players that are solidified already, guys that are trying to prove it like Pete Alonso, but also guys that are trying to prove it like Harrison Bader, Luis Severino, young guys that are trying to prove they belong, a first-time manager that's trying to prove he's worthy of that spot. I think when you have a lot of guys with a chip on their shoulder, when they cross over that chalky white line at first base and they step on the field, all bets are off. You know, they're going to compete every night. And they're not what they are on paper. They're not what you write on Twitter. They're grown men. They're millionaires. And these guys were all, at some point, the best baseball player in their town or college. They're going to go out there and compete. But the difference is the Yankees are going to be expected to go undefeated, and that's impossible. So they're just, you know, they're going to deal with fans. Like, all the conversation about not booing Juan Soto to me is ridiculous. And even the conversation about Mets fans cheering Juan Soto, what are we talking about, bros? What? If he goes 0-4 in the Bronx, he's getting the Bronx cheer. No one is above it. And there are Yankee fans that they don't know. They don't care. They see him strike out four times in a game. They see him strand a runner. They see him not do anything. It's boo. They don't care that it's Juan Soto, a pending free agent. So I hope this year goes great. I'm just not foolish enough to be like, yeah, we got Juan Soto, and that's enough to win the World Series. I've been telling y'all this whole time, they need a 1A and a 1B, or a 1B to Cole's 1A as far as the pitching goes. You can't sell me on Carlos Rodon. A lot of people believe that, oh, he shaved his mustache and he slimmed down, and this year he's going to bounce back and be what? No. Mm-mm. He's not that kind of guy. We had hoped that he'd be a bulldog, a left-handed ace behind Cole. He's struggling. He's not dominant. Do I expect him to just turn it on when the lights are brightest, when he's back in the Bronx? I don't. I think Stroman will have a better year than him. I think Nestor can have a bounce back good year. Nestor, I've seen Nestor pitch like an all-star. I've seen Nestor go out there and be a dog. I haven't seen Nestor go late in games. Better have the bullpen ready when it's nasty Nestor night. Hard to get a ticket, nasty Nestor night. Clark Schmidt, I have a lot of confidence in, actually, after seeing his little bit of work in spring training. Clark can surprise a lot of people, but ultimately, if they're going to go the distance, they need to get another starting pitcher, and they know Rodon, isn't it? That's why they were trying to get Corbin Burns. They weren't going to give up Spencer Jones. That's why they did actually offer Blake Snell early in this free agency, and they pivoted to Marcus Stroman, and that offer's off the table for Blake Snell now. Who's going to sign Blake Snell? Is he going to go to the Anaheim Angels and lose for the next 8 years? Maybe. That's none of my business, though. That's not really any of my business. Back to the phones. We go at 877-337-6666. Before we go to break, let's bring in Chris from Inwood. Chris, you got it.
What's up, my friend? How are you? The show is going great. As the weeks go on, you sound better and better. Love to listen to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm calling in reference. You know, I listen pretty much every night, especially when you're on the air. And a caller had called in about the Carlos Correa fiasco. And I'm in the... since I'm in the insurance business, I wanted to make it clear to the listeners what the problem is. So Carlos Correa's ankle is healthy. What the problem is, his medical history about his ankle is not. And when he was a teenager, he had this special procedure. It wasn't reconstructive, but it was something to stabilize his ankle. And the problem is the cost of player team insurance to insure the size of his contract is too expensive because of that ankle surgery. And that's why the Giants first offered him that money, got the medical report, sent it to the insurance underwriters, and they said, yeah, we'll insure this, but the premium is going to be X. And they said, this is too rich for us. Because remember, let's just use $300 million. Typically, the team will insure anywhere from 70 to 80% of that $300 million, right? So if the percentage of the dollar amount, which usually is anywhere from 7.5% to 15.5% on a player that has, you know, an adequate medical report, nothing out of the ordinary. With him, it was probably between 30% and 35%, and that's why they bought.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand. It wouldn't have been a smart investment. And we're, the book is still out on Carlos Correa. He had a decent year last year, but what if he breaks down in the next few years and then you're stuck with that deal? The Minnesota Twins are like, well, we're the Twins. We got no choice but to go for it.
Well, you have to think of it this way. Every $100 million they were investing in was probably costing them anywhere from $135 million to $145 million to insure, which is more than two to even maybe three times what it would cost for any other player.
And thanks for the call, Chris. This is what I'll say, and please go back in time with me. All of that is cool and all, right? The insurance and what it would have cost, and great, like, ultimately, Steve Cohen made the right decision to not sign Carlos Correa, we think. But I remember listening to The Fan that night, and damn, you would think that the Mets won the 2023 World Series the way that the caller sound and the host sounded after that news broke. And then we had a weird 2 weeks where I was like, don't let it not happen. Don't let it not happen. You won't hear the end of it from me. I'm going to keep bringing that up because you thought you were swooping in. You know, Steve Cohen was swooping in the middle of the night to make that deal. And I remember that cloud hanging over Aaron Judge's press conference being reintroduced as the 16th captain of the New York Yankees. And everybody kept talking about, oh, yeah, that's going to be on the back page, Carlos Correa. And it never went through. And that's another LOL Mets moment on The Fan. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!